Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on radiation, the radiation poisoning of America, when we come back. You know, during World War II, our parents and grandparents planted victory gardens. They helped to provide their own food and fiber for themselves and for their country. Well, today, more than half of the food that we eat is imported from outside of our borders. Our food is produced from hybrid seed that will not reproduce, and it is nutritionally deficient. Now, Adolf Steinbrom of Fairbanks, Iowa, put the matter into perspective some years back by having samples of corn tested for nutrients that are usually added to commercial feeds. Now, when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn tested in 10 Midwest states in a recent year, Steinbrom's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, 205% more manganese, and the same result was also seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc, and in the opinion of many ecologic farmers. Hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. Now, if you'd like to know more about this multinational corporate monopoly of our seed and food supplies and how you can become independent from them, then call and order my free general law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary. It's a commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about microwaves. That's the microwave oven in your house. I did half the article last program. We're looking at radiation poisoning of America in general. But I said we'd be remiss if we didn't bring into the equation that microwave oven that 90% of us have in our homes. 90% of Americans have a microwave oven inside their house. Nevertheless, you know, never mind, as they say down here in the South, to that microwave tower over there on Highway 160. Man, hell, you got that thing sitting right there in the kitchen, boys and girls. Now, not only does it leak microwaves into the kitchen, and if you're like most of us, you know, you got that thing plugged in 24/7. You need to unplug it. It's kind of like your television. See, you got this television. It's plugged in there, radiating you 24/7. You're sitting in front of your computer screen. You're getting radiated, you know, as long as you're sitting there. You got your telephone up to your ear. You're cooking your brain. Now, it doesn't do it all at the same time. Now, if it caused symptoms right away, you could put two and two together. But what the problem is with all of these long-term poisoning trends or techniques is that it takes 20 or 30 years to kill you. It takes a long time to give you cancer. It takes a long time to give you Lou Gehrig's disease. And you can never put two and two together. You can never connect the dots between the microwave That is, the oven in the kitchen or the microwave that you're holding to your ear or the microwave tower that's up on the roof of your apartment building. You can't put those numbers together, those facts or those events together, and come to a conclusion. It's designed that way. Now, there are plenty of researchers out there, and on the one hand, you've got these lunatic fringers over here telling you that the world's coming to an end. I reported this to you a couple of programs back. You know, if you up in Switzerland, they did a research study, and they found out that your chances of getting cancer, that's a brain tumor, are 400% greater by using one of these handheld telephones, you know, one of these cordless telephones. Now, when we translate that out, we find that 400% greater really means 1 in 100,000 will die from this telephone that you're holding up to your ear. Hardly the health crisis. Well, that's true. They're not lying to you. Your chances of getting cancer or brain tumor are 400% greater, but your chances of getting killed driving from here to Gainesville are 10 times greater than that. So nobody's really concerned about that. But you add that little fraction onto another little fraction and onto another little fraction, and pretty soon you come to an almost certainty. Now listen to this. In 1900, your chances of getting cancer totally in your lifetime were only 1 out of 33. Today it's 1 out of 2, 50%. 50%. And we just keep adding to it. See, like this Adolf Steinbrom story I just told you? You know, you just keep eating this foodless food, and then you just keep, you know, basking yourself in the sun or on the tanning table, you know, or you're over here sticking this microwave up to your ear, or and, you know, pretty soon it becomes a certainty. I mean, you can just keep after it, you know, until you kill yourself. Now, after you get to be old, you know, you say, now that I'm pretty old, I'd like to get older. Old men want to get older. Young men already have eternal life. When I was 19, hell, I had eternal life. I used to fly my airplane under bridges. And then a little later on, I recognized I might not have as much eternal life as I had originally thought, so I started flying over the bridges and power lines. And then I got to be a little older, and I thought, looked around, and I said, well, the family that flies together dies together, so I quit flying altogether. And then I got to be right up to 70. I ain't quite there yet, but I'm getting and pushing 70 pretty hard now. And I'd like to get to be 80 now. And when I get to be 80, I'm going to want to get to be 90. And when I get to be 90, I want to make 100. And then when I want to set a new record and get to be 110. I haven't talked to anybody that was tired of living and said, well, I've lived my life, I'm ready to die. I haven't found one yet. Religious people talk about dying and going to heaven. You pull out a .45 and say, hell, let me help you on your way. No, please, don't pull the trigger. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go yet. Never met anybody that wanted to go to heaven yet. They all want to go to heaven, but they don't want to go now. Now, when you're young, you know, you're in a hurry. People that are young are in a big hurry. They haven't got time to sit down and eat. They got to go through the drive-through window so they can eat while they're driving down the street. I did that a couple of times. I was so good, I could drive my truck, make a salami sandwich at 50 or 60 miles an hour. Hell, I could be driving 60 miles an hour downhill and make a sandwich sitting right there on a seat. I never had to stop. Well, now, you know, you get to be a little older and you say, well, it was kind of risky making that sandwich on the seat, you know. I mean, could have killed myself and 15 other people in the process if I'd had a wreck, but then, you know, I was in a hurry. A lot of people are in a hurry. And so microwave ovens help us in our hurry. And can't blame people for that. They're, you know, they're trying to get from here to there. And they want to get there yesterday, and here it is already today, and they don't want to wait until tomorrow, so they want this microwave oven. Well, Dr. Herzl and Blanc, B-L-A-N-C, discovered that these radiation ovens, I'm going to call them what they are, radiation ovens, caused bad health, and it caused people to get cancer, and it caused people to die. And so they said, this is really bad. And they went out and they published their material. And as soon as doctors Herzl and Blanc published their results, guess what? The authorities reacted. Authorities. The authorities reacted. Now, I thought that we had a thing called free speech. Even you Swiss over there, I thought, you know, well, don't you have free speech? No. You can't run around out here telling people that microwave ovens are going to cause them trouble or give them cancer or something like that. You can't go out here and say your microwave telephone, you know, is going to give you cancer or something. Free speech, you know, I don't know where you people came from. You must be Mork from Mork, because we don't have free speech here. And that's what these two doctors found out, because the authorities reacted. A powerful trade organization, it was called the Swiss Association of Dealers for Electro Apparatuses for Households and Industry. It was known as the FEA. They struck swiftly in 1992. And they forced the president of the Court of Seftigen, Canton of Bern, to issue a gag order against Drs. Herzl and Blanc. In March of 1993, Dr. Herzl was convicted for interfering with commerce and prohibited from further publishing of his results. However, Dr. Herzl, it's H-E-R-T-E-L, Herzl, stood his ground and he fought this decision over the years. Most people don't do that. They shut up. Now, we got a woman here in America, a black woman. Let's see if I think of her name. She's on television. Oprah Winfrey is her name. Oprah, kind of an odd name. And she had a guy on her television program one day. He was a cattleman from Montana. And he'd gotten cancer, and he wanted to come out and tell people what was causing cancer. It's the beef that comes off these feedlots. The chemicals that we put into the feed that we feed to the cows, the steers, that are on these feedlots, when we eat them, you know, in our Big Macs and our Wendy's and so on, they kill us. They give us cancer. And so he came on her program and she interviewed him and he told her. And do you know what the American Beef Association did? They sued Oprah Winfrey. Well, thank goodness that Oprah now has a couple of nickels to rub together, because she fought the suit. Now, she won. It's a matter of free speech. But most people cannot, or they will not, probably a little of both, can't fight those kinds of legal battles. I mean, that woman had to move her television show from Chicago down to Amarillo, Texas. Quite an inconvenience, I'm sure, for her. She spent God knows how much money. Now, fortunately, she's got $2 or $3 billion, and so she could afford to spend $5 or $10 million of it, which to her is pocket change. To the rest of us out here, we can't afford that. Now, people like me can afford it because we can do our own legal work. I don't have to hire a lawyer. I can go and defend it myself. Now, so far, nobody has sued me over what I've said here over the air, but it's just a matter of time. I'm just here to tell you, it's just a matter of time. And I'm going to come up with an article here like this one here or something else. You know, when you get into reporting like I do, you know, you make a lot of enemies. And people don't like you. Now, everybody likes to be liked. And I don't like nasty emails that come in here calling me a jerk and a dummy, dumbbell and so on. That's kind of hurtful, you know. I don't care much for that, but people have a right to free speech, and you know, I'm one of the champions of free speech. I think people ought to have a right to write me an email and tell me what a jerk they think I am. And then, believe you me, they oftentimes do that. But by the same token, you know, I ought to have the same right to come on the air and say, well, now listen, let me give you this report. Did you know this? Have you heard this story before? Because the powerful authorities, you know, that is the FDA and the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society, and the Food and Drug Administration, and the EPA, and OSHA, and all these government agencies, you know, they're controlled by big business. They're in bed with them. They're liars and frauds and charlatans and hypocrites, and they give campaign contributions and they bribe each other and one thing and another, and they do that for money. They're not concerned about your health. They're not concerned about truth and righteousness and right and wrong and good and evil. They're just interested in making money. You know, it's nothing personal. It's just business. Well, I understand that. I'm a businessman. But by the same token, you know, I think that we ought to be honest and say, well, look, you know, you got this machine over here. Now, I'm not here to tell you that microwave ovens ought to be banned. Hell, there might be some good uses for microwave ovens, but we've already discovered that heating human blood before a transfusion isn't a good use for a microwave oven. Killed Mrs. Levitt. We don't know how many other people have been killed in hospitals by use of microwaves heating the blood, but you know, you can rest assured that Mrs. Levitt isn't the first and she ain't the last. There's lots of dumb, ignorant nurses out there that don't know that you can't microwave the blood. Just like there's lots of young mothers out there that don't have any comprehension. You can't microwave the milk for baby's formula. They just do it anyway. Then they wonder why their kid gets autism or why their kid dies from sudden infant death syndrome or something. I didn't know. You know, as if your ignorance over here is some kind of justification that stupidity, some way or another, justifies your actions. Stupidity kills people. Foolishness is not good. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to get real smart real fast. But going on here, not long ago, this decision was reversed in a judgment delivered in Strasbourg, Austria. On August 25, 1998, the European Court of Human Rights held that there had been a violation of Herzl's rights in the 1993 decision. The European Court of Human Rights also ruled that the gag order issued by the Swiss court in 1992 against Dr. Herzl, I say Herzl, it's Hertel, H-E-R-T-E-L, prohibiting him from declaring that microwave ovens are dangerous to human health, was contrary to the right to freedom of expression. In addition, Switzerland was ordered to pay Dr. Hertel compensation. Well, that's good. I hope that Oprah Winfrey got paid compensation for all of her inconvenience over there. I mean, after all, she made a statement. She said, I'll never eat a hamburger again. Well, more power to you, Oprah. That hamburger over there is 40% fat. God told you not to eat fat to start with. And here's your FDA, they come along, Food and Drug, and then the Department of Agriculture, and they license these companies to put 30% fat into your hamburger. And then you wonder, well, why is it that I'm getting obese? Well, who invented these microwave ovens anyway? The Nazis. Let me underline that one. God, I thought that'd catch your attention. The Nazis invented the microwave oven for use in their mobile transport operations. Originally developed microwave radiomizer cooking ovens to be used for the invasion of Russia. By being able to utilize electronic equipment for preparation of meals on a mass scale, the logistical problem of cooking fuels would have been eliminated, as well as the convenience of producing edible products and a greatly reduced time factor. Now, after the war, World War II, the Allies discovered medical research done by the Germans on microwave ovens. And these documents, along with some working microwave ovens, were transferred to the United States War Department and classified for reference and further scientific investigation. Now, the Russians had also retrieved some microwave ovens and now have thorough research on their biological effects. As a result, their use was outlawed in the Soviet Union. The Soviets issued an international warning on the health hazards, both biological and environmental, of microwave ovens and similar frequency electronic devices. The Russians not only discovered that microwaves were bad for people's health, they turned it into a weapon and then used it against the American embassy to make all of the embassy staff sick. Well, I guess they stopped doing that now, but they were doing that during the Cold War years. It was quite a little scandal at the time, beaming microwaves. Now, the Russians, you know, they had a little different incentive. See, the government had a reason for keeping people alive and healthy to be used in their governmental apparatus. Here in America, we have a little different program. We're in business to make profit. The Soviets, not understanding profit and profit motive, they outlawed it because it was a health hazard here in the United States. So what the hell? It's a health hazard. But why should we let a little health hazard get in the way of profit? I mean, that's just business. The other European scientists also reported the harmful effects of microwave radiation and set up strict environmental limits for their use. The United States has not accepted the European reports of harmful effects, even though the EPA estimates that radio frequency and microwave radiation sources in America are increasing at 15% a year. So this microwave energy is being put out into the environment here is increasing at about 15% a year. It's bad. It's getting worse. It's going to get worser as time progresses. And there are carcinogens in microwaved food. Carcinogens. That's cancer-causing additives. Cancer-causing ingredients in this microwave food. Now, over in Russia, they outlaw something that's detrimental to people's health. Here in America, if you get on the air and you tell somebody that it's detrimental to your health, we'll sue you. And it works in most cases. There's very, very few people that can withstand a legal attack, and they don't want the hassle, so they just shut up. There's a few guys out here, you know, like me and that Oprah Winfrey and a couple, three others, you know, that, you know, throw caution to the wind. And, you know, my motivation's a little bit different. I can defend myself, so I don't need to hire a lawyer. But Oprah Winfrey, she's got plenty of money, so she can hire the best that money can buy. But if you're not trained in law and you can't defend yourself and you don't have the money, well, then the only other alternative is shut up. That's what happens to most researchers. Here's a good one. A couple of investigative researchers down in, I think it was Orlando, Florida, or thereabouts. Maybe it was Tampa. They worked for a TV station. They were going to do a story on homogenized pasteurized milk. So the American dairy industry, they got wind of this upcoming investigative report, and so they said, listen, you put that on the air, and we're going to withhold advertising from you. And so the radio station, that is the TV station down there, they said, well, we're not going to put this on because it's going to impact us economically. It wasn't they were going to sue them. It was that we're going to withhold advertising. And so, you know, money talks. And CBS did this. Mike Wallace reported this. Remember, they were going to do an expose on tobacco. This is back during the tobacco wars, 10, 15 years ago. And the tobacco industry says, you do that and we'll withhold advertising from CBS. And CBS sent the word down to 60 Minutes. You squelch that story. And they did. And Mike Wallace said, to the chagrin, to the shame of 60 Minutes, who, you know, always prided themselves on telling it like it is. By God, they didn't do that when the tobacco industry jumped on their backs. They shut up. 60 Minutes. Shut up. When the chips were down. So don't you think for a minute that government or big business cannot control the media. They do, they have, they are, they will, and they're not going to stop. Now, how do you like that? Now, taking a look at these carcinogens then in microwaved food, Dr. Lita Lee's book, that's L-I-T-A Lee's book, Health Effects of Microwave Radiation, in the March and September 1991 issues of Earth Letter, she stated that every microwave oven leaks electromagnetic radiation. It harms food and converts substances cooked in it to dangerous organic, toxic, and carcinogenic products. Further, she said, research summarized in this article reveals that microwave ovens are far more harmful than previously imagined. Now, you know, I was a kid once, and somebody said to me smoking was bad for my health. So I hauled out a Camel Stud, and I lit it up, puffed on it for a while, and I said, see, it hadn't killed me yet. You know, that's a teenage, pimply-faced punk talking. He didn't got his head screwed on straight yet. So that was my attitude. Now, of course, you know, given enough time, you know, if things go right, kids grow up. You might be a pimply-faced punk today, but you'll grow up. You'll outgrow that, you know, if you don't kill yourself in the process. Yeah, people do that today. Oh, hey, look at this. Hey, I just ate this Eddie Rickenbacker microwaved popcorn. And I'm not dead yet. Well, keep after it there, Sonny, and you'll succeed. My point is that it's dangerous to your health, and there's a limit to how many assaults you can put on your body. Now, you know, added up in a logical way, I said in the last program, your chances of getting a brain tumor are 1 in 100,000 using a cell phone for 10 years. Hardly a medical emergency, I'll concede. But when you add to that all of these other assaults, you know, like chemtrails and bad food and smog and bad air and about 15 other things like microwaves that we're talking about here and then microwave food, you know, you just keep adding all that together and pretty soon your body is unable to take all of these assaults all at the same time. So, you know, if you don't smoke, maybe you can stand microwaved food. You know, you trade off one bad thing for another bad thing, and so maybe it'll equal zero. Now, if you want to live to be 110, maybe if you eliminated the bad food, and maybe you eliminated the smoking, eliminated the drinking, you eliminated the drugs, maybe you eliminate some, all, or most of the microwaves and so on, maybe you'll live a little longer than the average Joe Sixpack. Tuck it away in your heart. The following is a summary of the Russian investigations published by the Atlantis Rising Educational Center in Portland, Oregon. Carcinogens were formed in virtually all foods tested. No test food was subjected to more microwaving than necessary to accomplish the purpose. For example, cooking, thawing, or heating to ensure sanitary ingestion. Here's a summary of some of the results. Microwaving. Number one here, microwaving prepared meats sufficiently to ensure sanitary ingestion caused formation of, here's a word for you. Let me just spell it. D-N-I-T-R-O-S-O-D-I-E-N T-H-A-L-O L-A-M-I-N-E-S. Now, you tell me what that is. I haven't got a clue. But whatever it is, it's a well-known carcinogen. It's a well-known cancer-causing substance. Let me give it a stab here. I got the first five letters, nitro. Here's S-O-D-I-E-N, sodium. Nitrosodium phenylamines. Nitrosodium phenylamines. That's a well-known carcinogen. Microwaving milk and cereal grains converted some of their amino acids into carcinogens. Thawing frozen fruits converted their glucoside, and galac. Oh my God! Galactoside. That sounds like something that might come out of Rwanda or something. Containing fractions into carcinogenic substances. Extremely short exposure of raw, cooked, or frozen vegetables converted their plant alkaloids into carcinogens, and carcinogenic free radicals were formed in microwaved plants, especially root vegetables. I don't know if you've ever heard of free radicals, but they're bad critters. Free radicals, you want to avoid those like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And so, let's suppose that you're going to put in some root vegetables. I guess that'd be like potatoes. You're going to stick a potato in the microwave. I mean, you can cook it in a conventional oven, but the microwave probably does it faster. And it forms free radicals. Now, you could live forever without a single free radical, but you're going to get lots of them when you put your baked potato into the microwave. And you just keep doing that year after year after year, and one of these days you know you're going to come down with cancer. Now that's the bad news. The good news is there's 14 cures to cancer. That's the good news. And the bad news is that once you get cancer, it's god-awful hard to get rid of. And you'll probably have it for the rest of your life. It's kind of like diabetes, you know. You're just 10 times better off if you can avoid diabetes rather than try to cure it. You're just 10 times better off if you can avoid cancer rather than try to cure it. But then, you know, if you want to be one of those that wants to wait until after you get cancer, you can probably cure it. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. Homeschooling for adults. Adults. Adults only. No kids. No pimply-faced punks. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Sometimes people ask me, say, well, why are you down on teenagers so much? Because they're so damn dumb, they're an embarrassment. I've tried to educate teenagers here. All they're interested in is girls and fast cars. Or boys and fast cars, whichever gender they happen to be. And so they're not at a level of comprehension and understanding for which education has any point in their lives. That's why Johnny can't read. He can't keep his attention span long enough on reading off of cars and girls long enough. So let them get over the cars and girls. It takes until they're about 40. Then we call that midlife crisis. And once this kid gets to be about 40, he's over the girls. He's over the fast cars. By now, he's been married and divorced 3 times, and he's got 6 kids that he's trying to support through the prosecuting attorney's office. I call that child support. Now you can get through to him. Now that it's too late and it doesn't mean anything and he probably can't change very much in life, but now at least he could learn what not to do to stay out of all that trouble that he got into over that 20 years that he couldn't learn because he could only think about girls and fast cars. It's just kind of one of those things, I guess. Now, there's a decrease in nutritional value also. Not only does it cause all of these problems like free radicals and screws up the alkaloids and carcinogens that it creates and glucosides. All right, now in addition to that, it's got bad nutritional value. Russian researchers also reported a marked acceleration of structural degradation leading to a decreased food value of 60 to 90% in all foods tested. Now let me pause right here. The Russians, you know, they're a bunch of dummies over there in Russia. There's no doubt about that. Everybody here in the West knows that everybody in Russia is dumb. But they're not totally stupid. Know what I mean? They may not be as bright as we are over here in the West, but You know, give them a little credit. They got nuclear weapons over there just like we do. And these Russian researchers reported that there was a marked acceleration of structural degradation leading to a decreased food value of 60 to 90% in all of the foods tested. Now, I'm going to give you a report next week called Hell's Kitchen. And in that report, we're going to take a look at the degradation of our foods. And we'll take a look at 1937, where food in 1937 had suffered about a 50% decrease in its nutritional value over the 20 years from about 1917 till about 1937. And then another test was done in the 1970s, and it had lost another 50% of its food value from 1937 to 1973. And then from 1973 to about 2000, it lost another 50% of its food value. Now, you've taken food that used to have a food value that would support human life on planet Earth. This was back in World War I. I mean, you could go out in the garden, pick your vegetables, bring them in the house, cook them, sit down, eat them, and you could get all your vitamins and minerals out of your food. It ain't possible to do that anymore. You've got to be taking supplements now to get enough vitamins and minerals out of the food. We have what's called foodless food. That's why I read you the story on Adolf Steinbrom. Now, let's take the foodless food that's lost 50% of its nutritional value from 1917 to 37, another 50% from 37 to 73, and another 50% from 1973 to 2000. Now, let's take that foodless food and stick it in a microwave and nuke the damn stuff until it loses 90% of what's left. Now what do you get? And you people are wondering why you got cancer and Lou Gehrig's disease? Well, you can wonder no longer. You know, there's just so much starvation that your body can take. Now, like it or lump it, you know your body has to have certain nutrients. I mean, your body has to have some vitamin C, otherwise it's going to develop scurvy. And old Joel Wallach, this is the book Hell's Kitchen. They got to tell a story about Joel Wallach. He's a veterinarian, and he put out a tape here. It was called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And so he went out there, and God, they tried to throttle him down. They threatened him with lawsuits. I mean, he said, all he is a crummy vet. And he said, dead doctors don't lie. He said, doctors, this is medical doctors. These are the guys that you go to cure your cancer. You know, Dr. Marcus Welby, MD, Mercy Medical Center, all the good guys, you know, that you see on ER. Listen, these guys die at age 58 on average. The average medical doctor lives to be 58 years old. Hell, he goes to school till he's 35. He only works 20 years and then he dies from some disease. 50% of the medical doctors are on some kind of drug. Half. That's every other doctor, you know, is on drugs. He's either snorting coke or he's shooting up heroin or whatever. Anyway, the average Joe Sixpack, I mean, if you're just a crummy truck driver working for Walmart, you're going to live to be age 75 on average. So those of us that are just average Joe Sixpacks wearing blue collars, you know, we're going to live to be age 75. Your medical doctor over here, trained, educated, knowledgeable. He's going to die at age 58, about 20 years younger than you and I are. And this is the guy we want to go to for medical advice, for crying out loud. I mean, we got to have our heads right up the wrong end of our rectal region, I'd say. Well, this guy Wallach, he figured that out one day, and he said, you know, anybody that would go to a medical doctor who's going to die at age 58 doesn't have his head on straight. And Wallach said, the reason that these doctors are dying is because they have nutritional deficiencies. It's because they're not familiar with nutrition, even rudimentary nutrition. And so he said, what they need are minerals. And he said, the best way to get minerals is to do it the same way we give them to our livestock. I mean, you know, our cows and pigs and goats and sheep, you know, they're not dying from ALS, Parkinson's disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, heart attack, stroke, and cancer and so on. Because we give them minerals. So he said the solution is very simple. You just go down to the feed store, get a mineral block, cost you $5. Probably cost you $6.50 now. Prices are going up every day. Cost you $6-$7. Bring it home, put it on the dining room table. Every time a family member walks through the dining room, reach over, give it a lick. That's what the cows do. Reach over and lick it. And then you'll get your minerals. Because you sure as hell ain't going to get them out of your microwave oven, kids. No, your microwave oven, it's going to destroy about 90% of the food value. And that was those dumb Ruskies over there that figured that out. All right, so now so much for the Ruskies. Now, decreased bioavailability of vitamin B complex, vitamin C, vitamin E, essential minerals, and lipotropics factors in all foods tested were decreased. Various kinds of damage to many plant substances such as alkaloids, glucosides, and then here's that bad word again, G-A-L-A-C-T-O-S-I-D-E-S, sounds like it came from Rhodesia or Uganda or someplace, and the degradation of nucleoproteins in meats. I haven't got a clue as to what a nucleoprotein is, but whatever it is, you need them. And it degrades them. And then there's microwave sickness is discovered. Oh, get this. The Russians did research on thousands of workers who had been exposed to microwaves during the development of radar in the 1950s. And their research showed health problems so serious that the Russians set strict limits of 10 microwatts exposure for workers and 1 microwatt for civilians. In Robert O. Becker's book, The Body Electric, he described Russian research on the health effects of microwave radiation, which they called microwave sickness. On page 314, here's what Becker tells us. Doc Becker here. It's microwave sickness. First signs are low blood pressure and slow pulse. The later and most common manifestations are chronic excitation of the sympathetic nervous system stress syndrome and high blood pressure. This phase also often includes headache, dizziness, eye strain, sleeplessness, irritability, anxiety, stomach pain, nervous tension, inability to concentrate, hair loss, plus an increased incidence of appendicitis, cataracts, reproductive problems, and cancer. The chronic symptoms are eventually succeeded by crisis of adrenal exhaustion and ischemic heart disease, the blockage of coronary arteries, and heart attacks. Did you get that, kids? I'm not going to repeat it. But you can get this report from the Herbal Healer. It's H-E-R-B-A-L-H-E-A-L-E-R.com, herbalhealer.com. I'll put brackets around that one. According to Dr. Lee, changes are observed in the blood chemistries and the rates of certain diseases among consumers of microwaved foods. The symptoms above can easily be caused by the observation shown below. The following is a sample of these changes. Lymphatic disorders were observed, leading to decreased ability to prevent certain types of cancers. An increased rate of cancer cell formation was observed in the blood. Increased rates of stomach and intestinal cancers were observed. Higher rates of digestive disorders and a gradual breakdown of the systems of elimination were observed. All right, now watch this. As soon as you're diagnosed with cancer, boys and girls, get rid of your microwave oven. How's that for a plan? And then we had a nice lady over here. Her name was Kathy, and she got cancer, and she was in her 40s, and she died. And everybody here in our local community was saddened. Young woman. She got cancer. Evidently, she didn't know that there were 14 cures to cancer. She selected one of the cancer cures called chemotherapy. She got the chemotherapy, killed the cancer, which was the objective. But here's the problem. When you kill the cancer, your body has to dispose of all of that dead, rotting meat. I mean, you know, look, you got a pound of cancerous tissue, and we give you a chemical, and we kill the pound of cancerous tissue. Now your body has to break that cancerous tissue down, because now it's necrotic, it's dead, and dispose of it. And it has to go through your blood system, and it's got to go through your lymph system, it's got to go through your liver. And it plugs up your vital organs and it kills you. This is what's wrong with chemotherapy. It isn't that the chemotherapy doesn't kill cancer. It kills cancer. And that's why the doctor tells you that he has to get this cancer at an early stage, when the cancer is small, so that when they kill it with chemotherapy, your body doesn't plug up and die from disposing of the waste. That's why they tell you, you've got to catch it early. Okay, now, if you haven't caught it early and you use chemotherapy, it's like giving you a death sentence because it's going to kill you. Now, Lance Armstrong got cancer, young man, bicycle rider, and he took chemotherapy. It killed the cancer. He was strong. He was young, and his body could dispose of the necrotic tissue, and it did, and he survived it, and now he's singing the praises of the medical profession, and they ought to be. They ought to be praised, because of the 14 cancer cures, 10 of them were all, 10 out of the 14 were found, discovered, created, discovered by medical doctors. So, you know, the fact that they die at age 58 shows that they were working hard from the time they got out of medical school until the time that they died. And they discovered cures to cancer. Now, three of the 14 can be used. That's cut, burn, and poison. The other 11 are against the law. You can't use those. The other 11 will cure you if you are in an advanced stage. And that's what you really need, is one of these slower cancer cures. You know, like bloodroot kills the cancer, but it doesn't kill it all at once. It kills it a little at a time, and then over time, your body can dispose of it. That's the value of Essiac. And Indian black salve. You know, people, they'll get cancer and then they hit the panic switch and they gotta go have their breasts cut off and, you know, their organs removed and one thing and another. Sit back and relax here. Cancer is pretty normal. All of us have cancer cells in our body all the time. And they take a look at this, you know, and they say, hey, let's take a look at this guy's blood after we have fed him some microwave nuked food. And we find there's an increase of these cancer cells in your blood. Now, your immune system is systematically, over time, continuously killing cancer cells. Cancer cell shows up. Some little white corpuscle goes out there and he kills a little sucker and he throws him out. And that's the way the body's designed. It's the way it works. I call it the miracle of random selection. Some people call it God created it that way, but you know, for us evolutionists, it's the miracle of random selection. In any event, it works. Now, this microwave sickness that the Russians discovered over here, and these free radicals, and these cancer-causing toxins that come from the microwave oven, are the bad things that come from microwaving. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you get rid of your microwave. There might be some good uses for it. Maybe heating up your cold coffee was a good use for a microwave. But using the thing, you know, to cook your baked potatoes isn't a very good idea. And using it for other root vegetables isn't a good idea. There's about 55 things that we've covered so far. Hey, this microwave oven just isn't a good idea at all. That kind of reminds me of Coca-Cola. Now, I wouldn't tell people not to drink a Coke. I think Coca-Cola tastes really great. I love Coke. If God made anything better than a Coca-Cola, he kept it for himself. That's what I'd say. Unfortunately, we Americans are sucking up about one of these Cokes a day. Now, that's 365 a year. That's an average. I mean, we got 300 million people in this country, and 300 million people are sucking up 365 Cokes. And unfortunately, our bodies can't handle that. And so the incidence of diabetes over the last 20 years has doubled. It just so happens that the consumption of soda pop over the past 20 years has doubled. Well, I'll just bet you over the next 20 years, if we could double the consumption of soda pop, we could double the rate of diabetes again. So if what we're trying to do here is to give everybody in the country diabetes, I can't think of a better way to do it than sucking Cokes. If you don't want diabetes, then maybe you ought to drink a couple less. I can't remember the last time I drank a soda pop, much less a Coca-Cola. I'll tell you one thing that Coca-Cola is good for. It's good for dissolving gallstones. So I've got a supply of Coca-Cola. I stuck it away here about 20 years ago. I got it in bottles. That Coke doesn't keep in aluminum cans. It just evaporates right out through the aluminum can. I mean, I've got some aluminum cans I had Coke in. You come back, they're still sealed. You know, 20 years later, they're empty. Damnest thing you ever saw. So I put it in bottles. You know, I bought it in the bottles, and I stuck it away. It's been just sitting here for years and years. I haven't got any gallbladder problems yet, and so I haven't needed my Coke. But olive oil and Coca-Cola, not necessarily in that order or in that quantity, but Coca-Cola and olive oil is the modality that we use to dissolve, break up, and get rid of gallstones. I say we. I don't recommend that for you allopaths over there, because that's not medically approved. You got to be approved, you know. You got to have the right protocol. Otherwise, it's called practicing medicine without a license. Hell, even you medical doctors will go to prison using Coca-Cola and olive oil. For God's sake, whatever you do, don't use Coca-Cola and olive oil now to dissolve your gallstones. What you do is you go to the hospital and have them cut out like normal people do. But for us abnormal people, you know, us Hebrews, us guys over here that practice the Mosaic Law and so on, we don't practice cut, burn, and poison, so we got to come up with another solution. So we did. Some of these things come out of the Bible. By the way, did you know that 32 herbs are mentioned in the Bible? 32 herbal medicines mentioned in the Bible. I was in a health food store the other day, and I counted all of the herbs that they had in the, you know, they got them numbered and marked. And this big display thing over here, you just come in here and you tell them you want some comfrey, and they just go over here to the C for a comfrey, and they pull it out. It was 142 bins in there. 142 herbs. There's about 84 common herbs, but there's some that aren't quite so common. Anyway, this herb display over here had about 150, a little less than 150. Just want to let you know that there's, you know, when you get one of these medical problems, there's a solution for it. Stop poisoning yourself. And this microwave oven is a poison. You're poisoning yourself. So here's take a look here. Microwave research conclusions. Now, the following were the most significant German and Russian research operations facilities concerning the biological effects of microwaves. Now, if you're wondering why we got to go to Europe and Russia, you can't do this in the United States. Well, not unless you're Oprah Winfrey. Now, you know, Oprah, if you're listening, you know, if you want to take on one, you'll take on microwave ovens. And you tell people, well, I'll never eat anything out of a microwave oven again. And watch how fast you get sued the second time. Well, if you want to spend another $10 million defending yourself, just take on microwaves. Now, that's why you can't do that here in the United States. You know, you got to go to Europe or someplace else where they still have some freedom of speech. So the following were the most significant German and Russian research operations facilities concerning the biological effects of microwaves. The initial research conducted by the Germans during the Barbarossa military campaign at the Humboldt Universitat zu Berlin, 1942-43, said, from 1957 and up to the present until the end of the Cold War, the Russian research operations were conducted at the Institute of Radiotechnology at Kinst, Belarusian Autonomous Region, and at the Institute of Radiotechnology at Rajasthan in Rozhkovsk, don't ask me, both in the Soviet Union and Soviet Socialist Republics. In most cases, the foods used for research analysis were exposed to microwave propagation at an energy potential of 100 kilowatts per cubic meter, second to the point considered acceptable for sanitary normal ingestion. The effects noted by both German and Russian researchers is presented in three categories. Cancer-causing effects. Now, I'm not going to bore you by going through all this. If you want to get the details here of cancer-causing effects so that you can see the creation of a binding effect to radioactivity in the atmosphere, thus causing a marked increase in the amount of alpha and beta particle saturation in foods, you know, you'll have to read those technical thingies over here of and by yourself. But it's called www.herbalhealer.com if you want the technicals to it. And then there's the biological effects of exposure. Now, exposure to microwave emissions also had an unpredictably negative effect on the general biological welfare of humans. This was not discovered until the Russians experimented with highly sophisticated equipment and discovered that a human did not even need to ingest the material substance of the microwave food substances. That even exposure to the energy field itself was sufficient to cause such adverse side effects that the use of any such microwave apparatus was forbidden in 1976 by Soviet state law. The Russians, hey listen, this stuff is so bad for you. Just walk over to in your hotel room and stick the pipe popcorn into the microwave oven. Then step back 10 feet and flip that sucker on. And the effects from just being in the room is worse than eating the crap that's coming out of the oven. And the crap that's coming out of the oven is guaranteed to give you carcinogens. Guaranteed. Absolutely. Now, why anybody in his right mind would want to eat cancer-causing carcinogens, I don't know. That's like asking a kid, you know, with pimples on his face, why do you smoke, son? And he picks a puff and he says, 'cause I'm tough. That's why I wear this earring in my ear. I saw a guy the other day had an earring in his tongue. I wondered why his speech was kind of impaired, you know, but then after he laughed, you know, and I saw him open his mouth, and I said, my God, he's had this earring stuck through his tongue for crying out loud. Probably doesn't affect your hearing much, but it affects your looks. If you want to know how stupid you look, stick an earring in your ears, fellas. That's why I don't teach teenagers here. They're so damn dumb. They're like a box box of rocks. Let me give you this number again over here. 10 reasons to throw your microwave out. I'm not even going to tell you to do that. But they got a page in here, 10 reasons why you ought to be throwing your microwave away. Like continual eating food processed from a microwave causes long-term permanent brain damage by shorting out electrical impulses in the brain. Oh my God. And it gets worse as you read on. It gets worse. Again, this is called www.herbalhealer.com. That's spelled H-E-R-B-A-L-H-E-A-L-E-R. Just one of about a dozen articles that we selected at random on microwaves. So there's your microwave oven story. That ought to gag a maggot. All right, I'm about out of time again, kids. I got to leave you this message and tell you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide on the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get one. They're free. Just call us and ask. That's all there is. 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. So we got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.